Hello, Louise.
Hello, Tracy.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
In case you're wondering, because we've been on repeat for so long, you're listening live to Artscape right after Louise has re-won her seat on council. Congratulations.
Aww. Thank you so much.
I'm very proud of you.
Oh.
Not because I have anything to, you know, like I never really have anything to offer. You're so brilliant.
Oh, stop.
But I'm so proud to see somebody who is innovative and thoughtful and creative and generous be rewarded for that.
Aww.
Right? Like that you're not just kind of out there to be in a position of power or a position of decision making. You're genuinely trying to make things better. And I love that people recognize that about you and voted you back in.
I think so too. I think they recognize that, and I'm super happy and really anxious to get back to work.
Yay.
It's such a distraction, you know, when I'm just trying to do this. I just need to get this done.
Yeah. So can you just maybe tell me a little tiny bit about what it's like to be in campaign mode?
It's challenging, you know, it's like the difference between a job interview and a performance review. So a job interview, you can't control what the job is. You can't control who the other candidates are. You can't control who's interviewing you. You have no control. You just show up, do your best, and hope for the best, right?
Right.
But when you're running for re-election, it's like a performance review. So for 6 weeks every day, people are reviewing your performance. You didn't do this, and you should have done that, and you did do this, and you could have done that, and you know, there are times where it gets quite tense, and you feel a bit defensive, and there are people who understand very well what the job is, but there are a lot of people who don't understand what
right.
the job is, and jurisdiction, and you know, there's a lot of talk about highway and shoreline. Well, those are all, you know, provincial jurisdiction, federal jurisdiction. I mean, there's really, it wouldn't matter if, it doesn't matter who gets elected. There's only,
yeah.
you know, you have to play in your court kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but what it taught me was that, and this will be something I will be emphasizing in the next term, is that the truth is we don't do a good enough job of communicating what a city can and cannot do. I think we need to work harder on that front, and we need to do more engagement, and we need to bring people into the process so that they really understand. Oh, I see. Right. Because once you explain it, then people get it. I mean, we're a smart city. There's no
yeah.
question about it. But we also have to operate from the right assumptions.
Right. I found it.
But
very...
I'm just so relieved. Like it.
Yeah. yeah oh, yeah. I can imagine.
And I can sleep. Like, again. I'm good
Done.
Tired. For the last 6 weeks, I've been cranky, uptight, tired, but now I'm just good tired.
I think I appreciated what Tim Lavery said at the forum.
Yes.
Because there's been a lot of talk about affordable housing mm-hmm. and expectations that affordable housing is somehow something that the council can do. And I know that you've been working as a team with the provincial, mm-hmm. you know, with the ministry and with people that are
yeah,
actually
with industry and
doing
finance
that.
And social yeah. development.
But there's only so much you can do.
Right.
And so Tim had a very nice, fast response to that, saying a 1% tax increase would be about $160,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if the city wanted to build a $1.6 million affordable housing complex, that would be a 10% property tax mm-hmm. increase.
And it would only really net us maybe 4 units.
Yeah. And so you could see a couple people look at each other going, oh, yeah,
yeah.
like I don't want 10% tax increase.
No. Well, nobody wants. You, that's like I often say, well, that's great, but how much more would you like to pay for that? Oh, no,
yeah.
never mind. It's okay.
Yeah.
right? So,
yeah.
The truth is we do have to put resources towards attainable, affordable housing. And if we were to put 10%, it would be much better spent as purchasing land to work with BC Housing reducing the development or even forgiving the development cost charges. So with that one point, like it's not how much money you spend, it's how you spend
exactly
the money. So mm-hmm. say we were to get a project going with BC Housing and we were to forgive some significant development cost charges, well, we could take that 1.6 and turn it from 6 units to 60 units. I mean, it's just simple math.
Mm-hmm.
And as citizens, you know, there's only one taxpayer. So you're already paying through your taxes for BC Housing projects. So we need to go and fight for our fair share.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds aggressive, but I think there's a difference between requesting and demanding, and usually the outcome has to do with that you have built respectful relationships and that you've done the work. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing the work.
Yeah. I have seen that in little bits and pieces, just as an ordinary citizen, mm-hmm. though working with the provincial people about this, and it's getting somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
It's very exciting.
Well, yeah, BC Housing, like, they, we saw them at UBCM. We're kind of getting off topic a bit here, but I will say this. We saw them at UBCM. UBCM is the Union of BC Municipalities. It's held once a year. All of councils go, all the ministers are there. You set up meetings, you know, there's briefings, there's debriefings. It's a 15-minute meeting. You go in totally prepared and you pitch what you need. And, you know, they were quite responsive to what we had to say. In fact, we met a senior official with BC Housing and said, would you please consider a Skype call with our housing task force? And he said, I'll do better than that. I'll just come to Salmon Arm and meet y'all.
Nice.
So he was here last Monday. Raymond Kwan, and the gallery was full. There were 50 plus people.
Nice.
Developers, builders, communities of faith, social development, economic development, mm-hmm. Citizens at large in that room listening to what, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about the whole spectrum from shelter and supportive all the way to affordable housing, because mm-hmm. you can't just fix one thing. You have to look at the whole picture. So
for sure.
Yeah. That's so exciting. It's exciting. And I guess my tension came from, I really didn't want to lose that momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we have lost the momentum. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that looks like a good solid council with just excitement and
well, it's a good
energy
solid,
behind it with good relationships. And
it's a good solid community and the province is noticing. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're on the right track and
excellent.
Super grateful. So the swearing in is November 5th at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Everybody's welcome. And it's kind of a nice celebration.
Well, that's not fair. That's the night of my daughter's concert at Sullivan.
Man.
What?
7 p.m.
Yeah, that's the concert start time.
The concert. Oh, we're going into concert season already. Holy Nelly.
Well, that's...
No, that's okay. Your daughter's concert is more important than than anything.
But there are all of those parents who would want to support, mm-hmm. you know, and see all the council swearing in, and that kind of excitement will actually be
well, their I think
kids
it'll
concert.
Be on... It'll be on the YouTube.
On the YouTube.
On the YouTube.
We'll watch on the YouTube.
And supporting your children is far more important than... watching us.
But still, I love hearing it. Like, you know, your speech last time was just like amazing.
Oh, well. I'll share it with you. I got to work on it.
Okay.
Okay.
So basically, we're catching up now.
Where has the time gone?
Yeah.
The last time we sat across from each other with our lovely giant earphones on was June.
Yeah.
So much has happened.
A lot has happened.
Yeah.
We were just launching into the 25th season of Wednesday on the Wharf the last time we talked, which is now long past.
Yeah, I think it was the week before the launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost seems like eons ago.
It was eons ago. Well, I guess because like in my industry, we just kind of get one thing in the bag and we just go on to the next thing.
Keep moving.
So it kind of feels like it was forever ago. But we have yet to have the WOW postmortem on the 25th year. And to be honest, it wasn't a highly attended season. We had lower attendance and lower donations. So we had two complete cancellations because of rain. And then we had one move, like the very first one, PJ Fest had to move because of rain.
Poured rain.
Yeah. And it was still really amazing and well attended because it was PJ's last concert.
Of course.
So it was fun.
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
But it changed, you know, like, and then the other two cancellations, it makes a big difference when we have to cancel.
It's a freak rainstorm. Hopefully we're going to get that thing fixed.
Yes.
Well, we did.
And the one was, we could have probably gone ahead except that the water had leaked onto the stage.
Yeah.
But that is on the books to get fixed, which is very exciting news.
Good.
But still, it's just that you're at the mercy of this
for sure. And the heat and the smoke and the certainly didn't help, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you should have a climate fest or something. Love my earth. Wow. series edition. I don't know.
Well, I kind of wonder, like, a lot
come to WOW and get a LED light bulb. I, you know, like, we really got to step it up here.
Yeah. And I recognize that a lot of this has to do with equipment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we can't, it takes us 2 hours to set up for WOW. So if it rains any time in the 2 hours prior to the beginning of the setup, we've got wet ground and wet everything. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous,
of course,
for the workers and for this band. So, you know, it's just something we have to think about. Yeah. Maybe there's other options. Maybe we do think about alternate venues or some other kind of thing, event. I don't know.
And are you supportive of getting feedback about that? Because I know our listeners are also WOW attendees.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Participants and volunteers.
Oh, my gosh. If anybody has feedback or ideas or solutions to any of these issues,
or compliments,
happy to hear from everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can just direct all of those kinds of inquiries to the Arts Council and we'll take them happily.
Yay.
And there's always things that we can improve on. Like, we've been trying these last 3 years to make changes to improve our sustainability because, you know, WOW is kind of expensive to deliver. So we've been trying to make some changes to make it a little bit more manageable. And of course, you know, some people thought that was fabulous. Other people thought, well, it's not the way it used to be, and, you know, but really we're just trying to make it so that we can keep having WOW.
Yeah. Right? And that, and you know, it's a bit like when I was on the Folk Music Society board, they're going through a big transition at the time. And one of their mandates was to deliver on local, providing local bands with opportunities to perform in the community. But every, you know, the more, so they would do maybe two, maybe three, then it was down to one a year. And the numbers were sort of not sustainable. And what the board realized, at least my recollection, is that the mandate had changed and the goal had been met and they were no longer needed to be the group that delivered on that. In the meantime, WOW had become stronger and bands were performing at private venues, so they ticked that box, and the energy and resources they were spending to keep fulfilling that mandate was just robbing them of the opportunity to do something bigger, something better, something else. So we always have to think about that.
And that sometimes change happens and it means less for one organization. Like I was saying to other people about the Wednesday on the Wharf seems to have inspired a lot of other communities to do Friday night lights
and
Mondays at the park and like all these other things in these communities that we used to draw from.
For sure.
So we see less audience now because they have their own local little music
and
in
that's
the park.
A great legacy.
Which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. It's more opportunity for people to engage with live music. Mm-hmm. What are we to complain? But for us, it means we have to make changes to make it so that we can still offer it.
Yes. Yeah. Or offer something like it.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And actually, that's always been the core of every program idea or decision I've ever made is rather than build a new program, how can we adapt an existing program to better meet the needs of the community?
That's right. Because we've always done it that way.
Exactly. Because you know how we feel about that.
I know.
That's the sign to change. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't believe we're... See, this is the thing. You have to get back into the rhythm of things.
Blah, blah. So here we're going to tell you where July went.
Okay, well, July was a very exciting time at the Art Center because we presented the Slahaya exhibition. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get to see the Slahaya exhibition, it was an audio exhibition based on a really incredibly generous idea that Louis Thomas had about sharing Sahuatmec stories. Mm-hmm. And so you could come into the gallery, listen to the stories that are from the Sahuatmec people. Three of them were Chiptaquila, so they're legends that teach morals. Lovely, beautifully produced pieces. And then others were stories that we recorded right here from local storytellers about the local area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we partnered the storytellers with artists. They created artwork. So it was this really different kind of feel for an
beautiful
exhibition.
Beautiful, organic, meaningful.
But if you participated in it, you would just sit down and go from piece to piece to piece. It took a little bit more than an hour if you really wanted to do all of the stories. Some people just chose a little bit at a time. But the big thing about that exhibition was that, well, first of all, there's lots of big things about that exhibition. But one of the key pieces that I think is the most important is that we had a legacy piece from it, just like we did with Trail Mix with the book. But we created a crate, a box called the Slahaya Stories Box.
Ooh.
It's a beautiful wooden crate that was built by Hopu Haskett. And it contains all the tablets with all the stories loaded onto them and all the artwork in the exhibition. And it's boxed up and it's touring the school district.
No way.
Yes.
Fantastic.
It's at Hillcrest right now.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What a legacy. Congratulations.
And so it'll tour for 3 years. It'll just be go for 6 weeks or so at each school all over the place. We've got a lineup. I was actually really worried at the beginning, like,
nobody
wants it, right? No, what if nobody signs up for it? But, oh no, we've got a full year booked.
Wow.
Astra's been working hard on that. And it's just awesome. Like already the Hillcrest teachers, they just kind of came like bees to honey, just bah.
Yeah.
And they were looking at it and going, oh, we could do this. Oh, we could do this. Oh, we could do this. So then Astra and I started thinking about, holy, we should actually, you know, take some of their ideas and create this little, you know, curriculum package, right? Yep. Like an activity guide. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that right now with the teachers who are offering all of their activities that they're doing. And they're
and just drop the pebble and the waves are.
Yeah. And so really it's Louis's dream to share Sahuatmic culture with all the children, right? Mm. So that there's learning and understanding about the culture that we live in. And we are all like
a part of.
Live on this land yes. together. So we are all part of Sahuatmic culture, mm-hmm. right? It's just, this is our part in history, but there's all the part, all the 15,000 years that came before us
wow.
that we want to honor and learn from. And that's one of the ways we're doing it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Whew.
That was a big accomplishment.
That's going to go province-wide. You watch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'll be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's wonderful. I'm so fortunate to have Louis as a guide. Like, he is just so amazing. And he keeps just kind of, you know, he shows up exactly at the time that you need him to show up.
Right?
And he brings the right people and introduces the right people. And, man, he's just yep. one of those beautiful connectors in our community.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on another project for next year on food sovereignty and sustainability.
Yes.
So that's another kind of piece that we'll be like working on that will really pull from sort of current issues.
Yes.
And then, but partner artists and growers.
And, oh, wonderful. And yeah. when's that one?
That'll be April, May, or wait, where am I? No, April, May is the bird show. June, July next
June,
year.
June, July.
Yeah.
A year later.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
It just keeps happening.
That's where the time went.
Yep.
And August was Culture Crawl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a Culture Crawl this year. We had 32 artists, mm-hmm. I think, on the Culture Crawl. But you know what's interesting is here's another opportunity to change a program. One of the things we noticed was that, you know, we had this visual arts Culture Crawl, but we also had, you know, the DIA did the downtown music thing.
And yes.
Of course, there's Theater on the Edge that, well, actually that happens in July, or that thing happens in August. But we sort of recognized, gee, why don't we actually start working together and create one of those culture crawls that actually is culture?
Yes.
Not just one kind of art or the other. And we co-promote yeah. under one heading.
Yeah, the ways in which we live together culture.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so if we create all these exciting kind of interactive experiences in the downtown that is easy for people to gather and connect with each other, that include visual and performing arts in all their forms, then we're creating this sort of interdisciplinary experience for our community and for yeah. visitors.
And you're animating space.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we're going to, we started that conversation with the DIA about what next year looks like.
I'd love to have like a podcast thing.
Yes, right. I have to tell you. Okay, later when we start talking about next on the list,
yes.
I've got to tell you about a podcast idea.
Okay.
I'll save it.
Cool.
Okay.
Next on the list.
So that was August for us. What was your August like? You usually take off out east for August.
No, not this year. My parents, my family came. It's challenging because, you know, my life doesn't stop because my house is full of company. But we did have some lovely time together, and Dave's sister was here from Europe, and so it was great. Yeah. Mm. Pretty mellow, but no back east because I went away to Europe, so I kind of burned my holiday opportunity there. And then, of course, August was Roots and Blues, which was fabulous.
Yeah.
Even despite the smoke.
Yeah, it was like the worst smoke of the whole summer on the Saturday of the Roots and Blues, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Early in the day.
Whew.
It was the apocalypse.
Yeah, apocalyptic.
Yeah, it was orange.
But it was such a celebration. And mm-hmm. I mean,
it didn't seem to reduce the number of people.
No.
It seemed to be just like normal festival.
No, and Colin James on Sunday night, that was the top for me.
Yeah,
I loved it.
A total highlight.
Yeah, so. And they loved it. And I mean, that's what I love about Roots and Blues is, yeah, sure, it's great to listen to music, but my favorite thing is how much the performers love being here.
Yeah. And Michael Franti. Oh, was that not the most amazing experience? And how much he integrated, you know, everything with the crowd. Yes. And then how early on he was taking pictures at the Rainbow Crosswalk. And
he, he Instagrammed inclusive seminar. Yeah. It was epic.
Yeah.
So see, we do have a big impact on the outside world. We forget that sometimes.
Yeah. But his concert, we left his concert feeling like the world will be okay.
Oh, you're right. Maybe that was number one. Doesn't matter. Shouldn't be trying to rank, but it was a pretty epic, epic weekend.
But so, I know like on Sunday we were, we made our way into the beverage garden.
Yes.
Cause the wine sampling thing was happening over there and we kind of like that sort of thing. And so we were over there and Eric was like looking across the fence and at the sound check that was going on the main stage. And he's like, "Hey, is that Colin James?" And I'm like, I don't know. Let's go check it out. So we went over there. There's like five people standing in front of the stage. And sure enough, it's Colin James checking out
in the flesh,
15 of his 25 guitars that he's got there, one by one. And so we had this like totally front row. We actually, because we had backstage access, we went behind the thing and sat on the little seat that was right in front of the stage. So I could just about touch him.
Yeah.
And that was, we watched this crazy pieces, like tiny pieces of a concert, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like so close. And
yes.
Yeah.
And they really do love it here. And, you know, I mean, kudos to Roots and Blues. Every year they switch it up a little bit. They change this, they fix that, they move this, they move that. And it makes a difference because they're creating this experience that is not, it's never repeated, right? Yep. So it's like, if you miss that one, you'll never get that again.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool.
I think that when people don't like change, it's because of a comfort level, right? Mm-hmm. It's because there's security in that, in the comfort. Mm-hmm. But creating dynamics is critical to our brain function, right? Like when things are changed, we have to think more, we have to make the effort, right? We have to engage more. So it makes a better experience overall. It makes our brains work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it does make, and your brain is hardwired to notice, hey, wait, that's different.
Yeah.
It's different from it was last time.
Yeah.
Right? Which is why things like public art or animating space or, right, you're that's a caveman thing. Like, wait a minute, something's out of place. Yeah. Something's different. What's happening here? Yeah. I need to pay attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we do. We pay closer attention. We maybe value those moments even more.
Yeah, just like election signs. Oh, wait, there's a new one out there. Yeah.
Look at yours. You're so beautifully different.
Wow.
Your little heart.
This is between us. I despise election signs.
Yeah.
But they're a necessary evil. So I thought, well, I have to do them. I'm going to do my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you did.
Yeah.
You could sing My Way now.
Do yeah.
Launch into it.
No. Heavens, no. Oh, gosh, no. You don't want it. You don't want that.
Okay. So there's August.
And then September is a provincial initiative called Culture Days.
Yes.
And I thought we had the best one of all. And it's going to surprise you.
What?
The Salmon Run.
Of course.
Is the best Culture Days.
The salute in terms to the sake.
Because to me, the Salmon Run says everything you need to know about this place. Mm. We might go away. We always come back. And we never give up.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is an amazing insight.
And we always think about what's going to happen next.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And I mean, those that Adams River Salmon Society, they just knocked it out of the park. There were 8,000 cars, 8,000 to 10,000 cars coming every day.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
We went out twice. We went out during Thanksgiving weekend, oh man, that was, I have never seen it that crazy.
Yeah. And so they animate the space, but the run belongs to everybody. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's such an important story. It's everything you need to know about this region.
That is so cool.
In that run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fish were a little bit late this year. So I think about 2 weeks or so. So they really started to kind of peak about, what was it, like October 15th or something like that, 16th, somewhere in there. So I went out on the 20th too with my friend, and there was a lot more fish out there then. But of course, that was the Friday of the last
weekend. Yeah. And they're still there. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, like just because.
But in terms of the celebration, the salute to the sockeye is the
flags in the parking doesn't mean. And the food trucks are gone. There's still fish coming up
food
the river.
Trucks. Yeah. I mean, like, how much better can you get? The Salmon Run plus food trucks.
Plus food trucks. Yeah.
We had bannock. It was so good. Mm-hmm. That is an awesome observation.
Yes.
I like that that is an important
right?
part
so
of our culture.
Sometimes you don't have to create an event. You just have to celebrate what,
yeah.
what and, you have.
And that's what we've done with Peak Year 3, the exhibition.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've said, okay, now we've done, the first year we reacted to that crazy huge run.
Yeah.
And then the second time we did it, we were saying, okay, is it going to be the recovery of the run or is it the death of the run? Because people thought the 2010 run might be
that was
the last gasp.
Yeah.
And other people said, no, no, they're back. Everything's fine. So then it was about that. Is it a celebration or is it a moratorium? Or is it a
funeral?
Yeah. And so this time, the 2018 run, as we were preparing for it, we decided, okay, this is the best chance that we have to really examine climate change as mm-hmm. it affects our community. Because we're pretty, you know, like we're pretty immune to a lot of the climate change effects. We're not seeing rising sea levels. We're not seeing desertification in our neighborhood. So, you know, what are we thinking? Like, oh yeah, climate change, whatever. It's a long way off.
Someone else's problem.
Yeah. But the salmon run is right our in our
problem.
Backyard.
Yes.
So we can see effects of warming waters, mm-hmm. and, you know, over all these things. So that was the challenge to the artists this time. How to talk about climate change through the lens of our salmon run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this show is about.
Oh, and it's astounding.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And
so,
it's on
now, and it's on until November 10th.
November 10th.
We actually extended this show like to be a full 2 months to bracket the entire mm-hmm. run
mm-hmm.
and then give lots of people a chance. And holy, we have been inundated with school tours.
Yes.
Because it fulfills a science curriculum as well as the cultural curriculum
yes.
for a lot of the schools. So
yes.
they're bringing kids in. And Astrid has been amazing.
She wrote a play for the
kids to act out about the life cycle of the salmon.
Yeah, wait, I was in there one day dropping something off and I think I heard that. And then they all erupted into applause. It was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're pleased with themselves
yeah.
that they did learn to play, played it out.
Totally.
And then all within like 20
minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Kate, our new manager of visitor experience, she's amazing with children too. So when Astrid's not there, she's conducting this and everybody's working together as mm-hmm. this sort of beautiful, you know, inclusive
yeah.
Feeling.
Like the salmon run.
Like the salmon run. And so, yeah, that's been a wonderful experience mm-hmm. at the gallery too. That's our September. So we're getting close.
And you need to go. You need the, if you haven't been, of course you've been because you're listening to Artscape. But if you haven't been, please, or you have been, please bring someone who hasn't been. Because there are things in that show that you have never seen before and you will never see again.
Yep.
Yeah.
So October has a few things for us at the Arts Center. But also something that's been going on since like a year ago
mm-hmm.
is the branding project
mm-hmm.
for the All of Salmon Arm.
Mm-hmm.
And that is coming to a finale now.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions have been made, community consultations happened, open houses, ideas were floating around, a whole community profile was built.
Research was done.
Exactly. Yeah. And a huge long process was conducted by a leadership team plus this company Resonance that does this sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's been endorsed by the brand leadership team,
mm-hmm.
by the Economic Development Society, and also, by the City of Salmon Arm.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's just a matter of when we
launch.
Yeah.
Yep. So a launch will be happening very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But in case you haven't been part of all of the community, you know, outreach events, it's Small City, Big Ideas
yes.
is the tagline.
That's right.
And Salmon Arm, the logo really isn't a picture.
No,
it's
no,
just
it's
Salmon Arm in a certain font with a little bit of a space.
It's a type treatment.
A type treatment. Ooh, yeah. I like that. Okay.
They don't, there's no such thing as a logo anymore.
Yeah, you're right. It's
yeah.
passé to
yeah.
have logos. But
yeah.
the nice thing about this is,
it's a campaign. Small City, Big Ideas.
Right.
Yeah.
The nice thing about this is that it really fits within, like economic development has had a real focus on tech,
mm-hmm.
the tech industry, and making sure that not only we attract tech industry people, but that we recognize we have a huge tech industry already mm-hmm. existing in Salmon Arm. So the Big Ideas part is a really nice kind of mm-hmm. fit for that, that we're, you know.
Yeah, and it is something we've talked about many times in this show, which is the creative class.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're kind of important
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we're a little bit invisible,
mm-hmm.
but we really generate a lot
and
of
engineers
revenue.
Are part of the creative class
mm-hmm.
because they make things out of their mind. Right?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So that's exciting. That'll
yes.
be launching very soon.
Mm-hmm. So we are a small city, no doubt about it, but we have some big ideas that we talked about lots of them just in the last half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but I sort of see that as an important part of what happens next.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen when we become a medium-sized city.
I don't know.
If we grow.
Because it's a relative thing. We will never be. You know what? Vancouver and Kelowna called. They'll never call us medium. Yeah. Right? Remember, this is a relative thing.
Yes. But I just thought that would be funny. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to change our tagline now. Medium-sized city. Big ideas.
Grande. Right? Venti.
Like, yes, that's right.
It's all relative.
A tall city.
Did you know there's no small at McDonald's?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have not.
You can't buy a small.
Darkened that doorway.
Yes.
In so many years that I don't even know.
But it's a strategy. You can only get a regular, medium, or a large, or an extra large.
Oh, okay.
Right? So remember, words are very powerful.
Words are powerful. Absolutely.
Yes.
Interesting.
And in the grand scheme of things, we will always be a small city.
Yes.
Point final.
Okay.
And I like it like that because I think small is beautiful. But, and so speaking of other small city, big ideas, you have,
well,
you're hard at work on a number of new.
Are you talking about the
beloved?
Art in the
Attic? Yeah.
Yes.
Beloved initiatives.
Well, the thing is, like I said before, the best thing for me to do is to change a program that already exists to fit the needs of the community.
Yeah, what
right?
outcome do you seek?
Yeah. Yeah, and the Arts Council has to, you know, be able to generate some of its own funds. So we have two events coming up that are fund generators.
Yes.
One is the Art in the Attic online auction. So that is something that has changed over the years. We used to have it every couple of years, and it was an event where people who donated artwork to us, and this is an important difference. We never expect artwork to be delivered or to be donated by artists. We only want artwork that has been purchased by people from artists who then want to donate it.
Yeah, because they need to recycle their stock.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that way the artist has already been supported.
Yes.
It's
not here, please give me a free painting.
Right.
It's piece that you have in your attic that you love, but you don't have a place for. If you bring it in, we'll bring it back to life.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Give it a new home. Mm-hmm. Use the funds that we raise.
Yeah,
to
you're
support
rehoming
the
art.
We're rehoming it.
Yeah.
So we call it just Previously Loved, and we collect the work over the course of a year or two, and then we have Art in the Attic.
Oh, exciting.
And so we've had it like physically in the gallery a few times. Last year was the first year that we decided to do it online because there's online auctions now.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, well, this might work. So it went pretty well, I think. Not as well as I had hoped, but actually not bad for our first time out. So this year we're doing it again, but we're kind of combining the two ideas. So we've got the online auction. It's 32auctions.com/artintheattic2018.
Okay.
So if you want to look that up, it launches on Friday, October 26th, which is 2 days from now.
Yeah.
At 11 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll run for about a month. It goes till November 24th.
Yeah. Set your iPhones.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so it's an online bidding thing. And we've got 56 items.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know.
So much good art in town.
There
so much.
Is.
Yes.
There's some excellent
amazing
pieces.
Collectors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also.
And collections, but.
Yeah. We also added a few extra little tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, it was the house baker at the gallery.
Yes.
Mickey Mann
yes.
has donated 4 dozen biscotti of 2 different varieties of the choice of whoever wins the bid.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you particularly, you know, if you're like, and you bid crazy amount and you win that particular piece, then you can tell her, I want 2 dozen chocolate ginger and 2 dozen gluten-free cranberry. Mm-hmm. And she will make the biscotti and deliver it to you.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Christmas done.
Yeah, exactly. Check that box. And I'm doing a plein air experience.
Okay.
So I'm offering an afternoon kind of a thing where I supply all the supplies and bring somebody with me to go out painting plein air. Yeah. So there's that. And then we also, because we had this really beautiful donation of yarn for the project, but some of it is acrylic yarn and we can't use it for the Little Lake project. So we divided it all up into color schemes and created 4 big yarn bags. With, you know, like there's one that's all blues. We called it the ocean bag.
Oh, nice.
There's one that's 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, my God.
gosh, that's funny.
And so, and then we also created craft baskets because over the summer, our two summer students, and especially Ava, Ava just went nuts cleaning out our inventory room for Family Saturdays, tried to clear and clean and declutter and streamline what we do. Mm-hmm. And of course, keeping in mind the programs that are the particular projects that we do. And we bundled together kind of all the leftover stuff into these little baskets. A little craft basket so that a family can buy. And it's a whole bunch of stuff in there that you can make.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of a different.
Genius.
Yeah. Auction with all kinds of different items in addition to
opens
art.
Friday at 11.
Friday at 11.
Okay.
And I'll put it online. I'll put it on Facebook and I'll put it on Instagram and I'll put it on our website.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be kind of nice. So, and then the other thing that is going to close on the same day that we're doing the White Light Studio Tour.
Okay.
So that's the other event of the fall. So,
and that was done years ago and always very popular, but it just kind of ran out of steam. Or
well, what happened was like we did it every year for like 3 years, and then it kind of ran out of steam.
Well, and sometimes you have to create scarcity.
So then we waited like 3 years until we did the next one, and now it's been 5 years since we last did it. So
it's going to sell out.
Yeah, so I think, and we've got 12 studios on the tour this year.
No kidding!
I know.
Wow.
Like normally, like in the past, we've had 7, 8, or 9. Mm-hmm. But we've never had 12.
So you can spend the day touring artist studios.
Yep.
And then is there like a wrap up
thing? And then there's a reception at the gallery at 4 p.m. That's an exclusive reception for the ticket holders.
Yes.
And tickets are like $10.
Oh my
goodness. It's not really like a huge amount of money. Yeah. But for us, it's it's an opportunity to give artists a chance to network with people.
Yeah. And people are more and more, like if you just want to buy stuff, you can do it online.
Yeah.
And we are, I would say, I'm sorry, world, but the truth is one of the largest retailers in Salmon Arm is Amazon.
Amazon.
But you know what? They don't sponsor the art gallery.
No.
And they don't sponsor Voice of the Shoe Swap, and they don't have a building, and they don't pay property tax. And so I just want you to think about, you have a choice. You can buy a thing or you can have an experience.
Yeah.
And, things come cheap. Experiences are unique. So I have so much admiration and respect for groups, commercial and nonprofit, who are creating experiences, right? I went and I experienced a lot of things during the campaign because I'm kind of a busybody and I want to go around and see what's going on. And like last Thursday at Westgate Public Market, the Shoe Shop Women in Business had a display there. I got to sit in a massage chair. I discovered this new clothing store I didn't know we had. Like, it's just and those things add value, right?
Yeah.
So we know the price of everything, but the value of nothing sometimes, I swear. Yeah. So get out there and try some new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other pieces for the Arts Council is to show artists working in their professional environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't really understand.
And see the real, like, well, I could have painted that. No, you could not have.
No.
So sorry.
Yeah. And so being able to,
humbling.
Yeah. Being able to offer that, that people can see that, artists are professionals. They train and then they practice their artwork and they develop a style and they have to, have to have a dedicated workspace and a method and a schedule, right? Like other professionals.
Yeah.
So it's just an opportunity for people to learn about that. Mm-hmm. And then interestingly, we have two other sort of interactive opportunities like Inclusive Arts that's just opened up across the street from
wonderful.
The gallery.
Yeah.
So they're going to be on the tour
and
offering a little take-home activity for people to do. And then the Salmon Arm Pottery Club are having a sale that day in the lower level of the Art Center. So people who have the button that they bought a ticket for the White Lights Tour will get a special little tour of the Pottery Club's workspace.
People might not realize there's like a full-blown pottery studio in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in addition, that's 10 individual artist studios plus these two other interactive experiences. So I feel like it's a pretty fun little day to spend. You could go out for lunch in between and have some fun cruising around.
Excellent.
Yeah. So tickets are on sale at the gallery and at Salmon Arm Stationery.
Okay. Of course.
$10.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Things are always on sale at Salmon Arm Stationery.
Yeah. They're such good partners.
That's exciting. And then before you know it, it'll be the kickoff to the holiday season.
Yeah.
And the downtown light up and.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
and
the next big thing is the treat trail and
yeah.
Halloween, which is, for a lot of people, that's a very creative experience.
Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious.
Right?
Oh,
and they, it's not just about, oh, I'll go grab that costume on that site. It's really about what, you know, what story am I going to tell? Am I going to be a Rubik's Cube? Am I going to be, right? What am I going to be?
I love looking at all the costumes. Yeah. That is the most fun about that thing. It's not necessarily, I don't even know if the kids really care what they're getting thrown into their little bags. Not they're just like running around.
But it's that sort of exchange of, here, I'm going to tell you the story and you're going to reward me with this snack or pencil or
it's super fun. You just wait. I want it to be a surprise.
Yes,
what us gallery staff are dressing up as this year, because we're going to be outside the gallery again, because of course we have peak year going on in the gallery, but we're going to be outside handing out our saltwater taffy.
I can't wait.
But yeah, it's something, I'll just give you a hint, it's something very fitting for the art industry.
Oh
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go one time as a baked potato.
A baked potato.
Yeah, it's two pillows and a roll of aluminum foil. I don't know where I saw that, but I'm like, that is genius. Not this year. This year I'm going to something else.
Aw. You've just shared your brilliant idea, on the
air. That's okay. So anyone want to go as a baked potato?
That's pretty cheap. It's like $4 for a roll of aluminum foil.
Yeah.
As long as you reuse it after.
Well, for sure.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Absolutely.
And repurpose.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to see it now.
I know, right? Stick a fork in it. I'm done.
You'd have to have a fork sticking out your side and a little tiny tear with the butter.
I know, right? Yeah.
Okay. And now,
as the art world turns. A dramatic moment in the arts.
Well,
I've missed that so much.
I know. Dun, dun, dun. So here's a piece of information that nobody has ever heard about.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, hot off the presses. But still epic.
Yeah. Okay, Banksy.
Ugh.
If there's anybody out there that doesn't know what that word means, mm-hmm. then they're under a rock for sure. Mm-hmm. But in case you've been under a rock.
If you don't know, you're in for a big treat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Banksy has been the paramount contradictory artist that has made sure that everybody who thinks they know something about art has been proven wrong.
Mm-hmm. And nobody knows who he is for real.
Yeah. Very, very famous for the graffiti art that he produces, but also has been part of the upper echelon's art world in ways that poke and prod and pull at the seams of the whole art.
Yes, he's a disruptor.
Construct. Oh, yes, he's a disruptor.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard, a piece of Banksy art was up for auction at Sotheby's, right? It was
Which is totally not Banksy-like.
I know.
That's not his thing.
No. Was it the first time that there's been a Banksy?
I think so. Because I could be wrong, but I have the feeling.
And it was Banksy authorized. This is another thing that sometimes things come up and happen and they're not authorized and, you know, blah, blah. But this was Banksy authorized. He agreed to this. This piece was up on the wall.
That girl with the red balloon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Getting bids like crazy, phone bids, people with numbers. Mm-hmm. It was madness. What was the final selling price? A lot.
Millions.
Yeah. And at the moment that the gavel hit 1.4 million. Thank you, Eric. At the moment that the gavel hit the wood and said sold for $1.4 million, a little tiny motor started in the bottom of the frame and shredded the artwork as it came shooting out the bottom.
Right?
Yeah. And made it just look like a standard office shredder. However,
but someone had, I was like, was he in the room?
Oh.
But he's now said that he had a colleague there with the
button,
with the fob.
Yeah.
So the minute they hit the gavel hit.
Yeah. And the shock on everyone's faces.
My goodness.
It's hilarious.
And some joy and some laughter and surprise. And it's such a Banksy thing to do.
Yeah.
And now, I think it's probably worth more now, but.
It probably is.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just a statement against when you value the art more than the artist, I guess.
Yes.
I think is what he's trying to say.
Yeah. And that when
it didn't actually go, it was supposed to shred right out the bottom.
And it didn't. It got stuck halfway, which is interesting because now it's made a new piece of art.
Yes.
A new work of art was created that moment.
But now it's starting a whole... Right?
It's a shred
fest.
It's almost like a meme now.
Shred fest memes.
It's so great.
Yeah.
So at the Brexit, there was an anti-Brexit protest recently, and the protest signs were hilarious. Like, so you should just Google it. It's so wonderful. I think it was on Board Panda, actually, yes, that I saw them. Best signs at the Brexit protest. So some people, like a lot of people, because Banksy, of course, is British.
Yes.
Took the same idea, and they've taken different Brexit, the Brexit campaign, and half shredded it in a big gold ornate frame. Mm-hmm. And that's their protest sign as they're carrying it around. I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
And I mean, he did post a video on Twitter showing how he built the shredder into the frame.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So,
but
how
then
long?
It didn't stay up very long.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the video's gone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because I saw that.
Yeah.
Did you share that? Maybe you shared
Maybe
that.
Maybe I shared it.
Because I watched that.
I just think it's genius.
Yeah. But I do think it's interesting. Like, how long before the auction did that actually happen? That's what I'd like to know. Like, how long has he been sitting there waiting with the fob, waiting to be able to do it?
Well, I guess I think he built in from the beginning, from the original sale.
Yeah. Whew. It's just groundbreaking stuff, right? Like, it's just gives us a time, it gives us this moment to think, oh my gosh, what are we doing with our fortunes, with our wealth, with our money? And I love that he's...
And you know, yeah, and it's, he's a street artist. He's an outsider. Well, outsider, we don't even know who he is. Like, you can't be much more outsider artist than that, right?
I bet you he's hiding in plain sight.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. oh, and I wonder. But... I mean, I think there are examples in our community where we should be embracing street art and saying, okay, you know what? This space is super dull and open to negative negative social impact. Mm-hmm. Like, what can we do to brighten it up? What can we do to send a more positive message? Like, there's an artist who takes graffiti hate symbols. Well, it's vandalism. I wouldn't even honor it with the word graffiti, but say someone spray paints a hate symbol on a wall, and so there's this team of artists who will take that symbol and reimagine it and paint it as like a beautiful flower or a piece of fruit, or it's quite remarkable what they can that transformation.
Yeah.
When it's intentional, it acknowledges you had something to say, I heard it, and here's what I think, right?
Yep.
I just think it's a beautiful message.
Yeah.
It's not about scrubbing it out and you know, putting up spikes and harsh lighting. It's about saying, okay, fine. You want to have this conversation? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a fear that if you open up a space for that to happen, that suddenly the permission has been given to do it everywhere.
No.
And I think that's been proven wrong in a lot of cities that create the graffiti walls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really as simple as because painting big blocks of color and saying, there you go.
There you go. And graffiti artists, like the real thing, the real dude and dudettes, I guess, do not paint over.
No. There's unwritten rules about graffiti art.
Yeah, it's a code of conduct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
For instance, like, graffiti artists never spray paint on schools or churches or private homes.
Yes.
Those are rules.
Yes.
It's only supposed to be public property. And, you know, like, that's the train graffiti artists do this, and they, you know, the trains have, numbers, registration numbers and letters and stuff like that. You never cover over that.
Right.
You never leave a mess where you're spray painting.
Yes.
Like, there's all these rules about
it. It's a code
it.
Of conduct.
And so we have to, in a way, we kind of have to say, okay, here's your space. Here's the space where we can have that conversation. We trust that you will follow your own rules.
Absolutely. And it's an honor among artists. You know, I really believe that. And
when people do tag and use hate speech and things like that, real graffiti artists will come and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we have to provide the opportunity.
Yes. And I mean, like, it sounds obnoxious, when I was in Europe, but I took my kids scootering in Europe. It was like a budget mom teenager trip, right? And that's what we do every day, is go and find coffee and then find a skate park and let the boys, you know, scooter. Mm-hmm. And the best part about it, I mean, they love the bowls and the jumps and the rails and the stuff. But to me, it was like going to a different art gallery every day.
Yeah.
Like, it was phenomenally beautiful.
Yeah.
Graffiti and welcome. In fact, encouraged, you know, and no hate speech, no swearing, no, just beautiful art, mm-hmm. right? People expressing themselves. And I think we need to make sure that we keep room for those conversations to keep happening, mm-hmm. right? Life is not prim and proper. It isn't. It's messy.
Yeah.
And we need to get it out, right? And so yeah. if you have to do that at a skate park, then great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're, I guess,
or a we wall, have to learn. Or a, right? But we yeah. have to respond. We can't let it happen in an echo chamber. It has to be a conversation.
Yeah. Right? And we have to open the door a bit so that we can, I mean, I hate to say this word, but so that we can control it a mm-hmm. bit too, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, no, we can't open that door because we might open the floodgate mm-hmm. and have tagging going on everywhere. We have to open the door a little bit so that we say, okay, this is what we think.
Yeah.
This should happen here. What do you think?
Yes.
And if they're like, yeah, I'll take advantage of that, then we have a relationship.
Yes.
And then there's space for that exactly. as well as space for us mm-hmm. to feel confident mm-hmm. that that's part of our community and not something that's going to offend people. And mm-hmm. right.
And I mean, to me, if you vandalize a building with spray paint, it is a scream. Mm-hmm. Right? And if someone screams, we need to answer.
Yeah.
Right? They're calling out for help.
Yeah.
We cannot block our ears or pretend it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Or try and mute them because it's too late.
Yeah.
Right? So how do we make that conversation? I hear what you're saying. Let's talk about this.
And if there's anything that we've learned from the polarization that's happened in the yes. last few years, it is that we need to talk more.
Mm-hmm.
We need to actually be okay with having opposing views
yes.
and still have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which is actually, I mean, when you think about it, remember, somebody mentioned this online. Remember there was a rule, no politics, no religion, no sex, right? You don't talk about those three subjects.
Or money. Yeah.
Well, now we don't know how to talk about those things with other people. So
we talk about, I don't know, hockey, weather. Yeah. Maybe that's why we talk about the weather so much, because we're not allowed to talk about anything else.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's time to start having some tough conversations.
I almost feel like we need to retrain ourselves in the art of logic, rhetoric, and conversation.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another show.
Yeah. Ooh. If we had a show that was about those difficult conversations, I don't know. We'd have to find things that we disagree on.
Yeah. Or we could bring people in who disagree
with
us.
Maybe we should.
Yes.
Maybe that's actually a fiery
idea. Or just do like charades, put topics in a hat and say, okay, oh, this, okay, I have to defend this. But kind of like the debaters.
Yeah, the debaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. The arts debaters.
That's right.
Let's do that.
Margarine is not a food group. I would win that debate. Anyway, you get the idea.
I heard the one coming up is about food courts.
Oh, really? Gosh, it's a great show.
It is a great show. Okay, we're getting close to the end, so let's wrap up some things. So first of all, we're very excited that we still have an awesome sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Brad DeMills is still sponsoring us and giving us space to
and such a good sport. Like, he really, you know, at DeMills, they're all about community and
you
and
went
creating
to the
experiences
pumpkin cannon thing,
and the pumpkin
you?
Cannon and the right 11 years they've been doing this.
Yeah,
and you know, if the weather holds, maybe a rink in the winter, like, you know, here's a guy, you're buying an experience, mm-hmm. not just a bag of fruit.
Right.
Although if you are buying a bag of fruit, it's a pretty darn good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is an experience. I always bring a visitor there.
Yes.
Because, yeah,
it's kind of
what
Salmon
is about.
Must see.
Yeah. When you're representing our agricultural industry, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. It's a little bit old-fashioned in a way, right?
Small like, city, big ideas.
That's right.
Yeah.
So thank you to Brad and all of DeMills mm-hmm. for sponsoring our show.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And then we do have lots of upcoming arts events, of course, this fall. And lots of the arts groups in the community are full on into their fall programming. So it's important to kind of keep on top of these things. Otherwise, a thing will pass you by so quickly.
Yes. And the craft fairs are lining up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to get your calendar out on your phone.
And the classes, really the pottery, signs, paint, you know, paint and sip.
Yep.
Yeah. Get your day timer out and start booking. Because next thing you know, it'll be the day that.
Yeah. And most of the places are online. You can get the information off websites and Facebook and mm-hmm. stuff. So just check it out because, mm-hmm. man, we've got a lot of opportunities here in Salmon Arm. And I think, you know, some of the groups are trying to reach out to very specific kinds of communities, right?
Yes.
And if you're part of a community that is, you know, looking for camaraderie, there's probably an activity just for you.
Yes.
But you have to find out about it in order to attend. So search.
Yes.
There are things going on in Salmon Arm that are very inclusive.
Yes. And a lot of them can be found on
Well, a lot of them can be found on salmonarmartcenter.ca.
That's right.
On our participate page. Yes. Yes. So check and participate. And we do arts events on there. ShoeSwapEvent.com, of course, does art, events of all sorts. You can also look specifically for the places you're looking for, like Meikle Studios, Paint and Sips, Inclusive Arts has a huge range of kids, teens, and adults, and senior classes.
Westgate Plaza, Public Market. Yeah.
There's lots going on. So just
tons and tons of things.
Seek it out and do it. Yeah. Have the experience. Yeah. Well, thanks for the catch up.
Yeah, it was great.
That was fun.
And we'll talk to you next time.
See you next time on Artscape.